Behind every great man there's a woman. Come. You may be seated this morning.
It's great to be with you this morning. It's been wonderful just being in the presence of the Lord. It's lovely to go away from home. And then you just come to church just here, like, and it's just like, oh, just like same home. God, like same presence, same lot of people that just love to worship. Amen. Mm. I'll share a bit of my testimony from this last year. I'll share a little bit of my testimony from last year. It was probably the worst year I've ever had in my whole life. And I actually had a nervous breakdown, and we found out for several reasons, and right when I was at the lowest point, I cried out to God, "You'll have to send somebody to help me, because I don't know what's happening to me." Graham didn't know what was happening to me. We were totally at a loss. I've never seen anybody have a nervous breakdown before. I didn't know what it entailed or anything, but I was just going through this terrible dark hole. And Ellen and Debbie were to come down for a week, and I was thinking, laying on the bed thinking, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do, you know. And then they came, and they were an answer to prayer. And they came for a week, I think, and Debbie ended up staying 7 weeks and just ministered to me, helped me, prayed me through, made me take my medication, and just encourage me. And there would be times she would just come and sit by the bed and just read to me and just read the word of the Lord. And I'm just so indebted to you two for your love. I'm reminded that scripture, greater love has no man than he lay down his life for a friend. And you are amazing friends. Graham and Alan are like, you've seen the Muppets and the two old men up in the balcony? That's Graham and Alan.
It's Alan.
They are both out of control, believe me. But I just thank God. My doctor wouldn't let me fly anywhere, and so flying up here was my first trip. I was like, will we drive? Will we fly? Will we drive? Will we fly? And then, no, we're going to fly. We're going to beat this thing. And had a great trip up, and awesome. No problems, only the heat here. I don't know how you live here. But God is so faithful, you know, and I just thank God that even through that dark, dark time when I couldn't feel God was there, I knew he was, but I couldn't feel him, because he says, "I will never leave you or never ever forsake you." And I hung on to that God, you said you wouldn't leave me and you wouldn't forsake me, even though I couldn't feel his presence for a long time. I knew he was there, and he brought me through. And I just praise God. I was so upset when Debbie had to go home. I went back to bed early that morning and cried and cried. Lord, what are you doing to me? You've taken my rock away. And it's like, no, he's your rock. He's my rock. And sometimes, you know, you need a friend to come alongside and just pick you up and help you and slap you around a bit when you need it. And God is so good. God is amazing. And I am probably 99.9% back to what I was. And I can say now, for a long time I couldn't say thank you, God, for the experience. But I do thank God for the experience. I do thank him so much. He's changed my whole life. Shaken out of a lot of stuff that was locked down in my life from my childhood, unhappy childhood, things I'd done, being in ministry for many years and the hurt and, you know, things that happen. And it's God, in that whole process, he just picked me up and turned me upside down and shook it all out. And it's totally irrelevant now, totally irrelevant. What is the main thing is that we love Jesus and we've got a relationship with him. Nothing else really matters.
That's right.
Nothing else really matters. That is the main thing, that we love the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, and worship him and seek to have that close relationship with him. Amen. He's a faithful God, a faithful God. And thank you for your prayers. Mm. I know lots of people were praying, but I do thank you for your prayers. Mm. I know it was the prayers of the saints that really helped me get through. So bless you, and Graham's going to come now.
Wonderful to have her back. It was a miracle. We know that you were praying, and we know that you released Ellen and Debbie, and we were just blessed out of our socks. I feel there's a real anointing here today to do something. I've never done it before, but I felt to do it, and it's very simple. I'll do it and show you. You stand up. And you're going to take one step forward, because you can't take any more because the seats are ahead of you. And all I want to do, that one prophetic act, is to say, I'm leaving behind the things that dragged me down. Sue was really emptied out. And as she was emptied out, God started to fill. And we saw miracles happen. But it was a process. And we realize some deliverance take time to get through. So what I'd like you to do in a minute is I want to say, Lord, this is what we want to leave behind, where I'm standing now. And taking a step forward is like stepping out in the deep and stepping on God's provision and God's strength and God's presence, so that it's not your own strength. I can't do anything. Jesus said, I do nothing. I can do nothing by myself. But he said, as I see the Father doing, so I do it. And he said, with God all things are possible. And so this you might have been sick for years, and it kind of gets into your mind, oh, I'll always be sick. No, you won't. No, you won't. You'll leave it behind. You might have thought, well, I've been poor all my life. Well, it's about time God bless you, as Alan said, and give you a dollar. So you're leaving that behind. And whatever it is in your heart, I don't know what's in your heart. I'm only Graham. But whatever is in your heart and the hard times, we had probably the hardest year that we had. And it was our 50th year. Now it's 51. I got married when I was three. No, hello. But you see, whatever it is, I want you to make a conscious decision. But what I'm going to talk on is breaking the cultural barriers. And I've never spoken on this before, but I just felt today I'm going to speak on breaking the cultural barriers. And I want to speak on it very strongly, because I believe there's one culture that we're all in. It's a kingdom culture. And it's amazing culture. But it's got the power to break all barriers. So what I want you to do, just as a prophetic act, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. It's a free, voluntary choice. All you do is stand up with me. And when I say, right, we're going to break that, we're going to leave behind the things that were hard, that were negative, that were dragging us down. And we're stepping into God's provision. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. We're stepping into God's provision, and you've got to, when we step into it, I want you just to believe God for total miracles. I want this day to be a miraculous day. Forget who's saying it. I want you to have an encounter with the Lord. And I believe, I've never done it before, so please bear with me. I just try and follow what the Lord is leading. And so when we step, so we're going to step now. Here we step right into God's provision and his miracles. And we thank God. We thank you, Jesus. For Lord, we've left behind that. We put it behind us. It's gone. Father, the hardness of the Lord, the things that we've gone through that we could not handle, we've left it behind. Father, now we step into your provision. The provision of God, the miraculous, Lord, the supernatural power of God, your very presence, that, Lord, is going to enable us to do mighty things, not because of us, but because our mighty God, great is our God. Lord, awesome is our God. Father, majestic is our God. You're the great I am of every situation. You know every heart in this building. You know us through and through. You know every thought that goes through our head. And Father, we believe you right now. We're stepping into your provision and we're going to see this year be an amazing time in God. Father, we thank you for what's behind us. Lord, we don't want to go fishing again. We say, let the blood of Jesus cleanse it, Lord, gone. And Father, we pray that as we step into this, we thank you, Lord, that this is... I just feel such a freedom as I step, because the Lord asked me to do it. Thank you, Jesus. The truth shall set you free. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. Glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, some of you tonight are going to go home and it'll bear witness what you did. And you'll think, wow, it's gone. The things that have held me back have gone. If I was Eleanor, I'd say gone. But it's gone. Yes. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I just want to embarrass one man here. You just sit there. I just feel God is bringing you into his Bible school. Wasn't your choice you came here. You might have chosen in the natural, but God had a plan for you, and a beautiful plan. But it's a plan he's going to teach in the Bible school many things. And the Bible school is without walls, meaning it's not just a building. It's God and you. And he's making you, he's training you to be a warrior for him. But it's a very special one. As you get down on your knees, so you'll find that the word of the Lord comes into your heart. When you're doing things, the word of the Lord's going to come. And it's going to be like the training school that you've never had before, because it's not walls. And it's going to be an amazing thing. You'll go to your pastor and say, look, this is what God is showing me. And he'll have words of instruction. In fact, I saw you with a kanga hammer. You know, is it a kanga hammer? You go, da 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 da. Yeah, you get a bit jittery at times. And you're digging deep. You're digging deep. And people are saying, what are you doing? The Lord has asked me to dig in the foundation. And as you do, you'll realize the deeper you go, the greater the building you're building. And you'll do that because training is, what you're doing is training, and you're in God's school. No walls. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. And the Spirit of the Lord will come to you. And you think, what's all that about? You've in times past, you've known other spirits. The Spirit of God is going to come to you, and it's going to equip you in an amazing way. And the word will come alive. And you think, man, I never saw that before in the word. And you just grab a scripture and it'll be like your anchor for that day. And God's going to teach you many things. Hallelujah. There was a lady sitting here somewhere. She's gone. Is this normal in this church? No, is she here? Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Would you like to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11? Yeah. You can just stay there, Sharon. I just got a little word. I saw you in a garden and or walking in a garden, and the Lord was leading you, and you're by yourself, and he wanted to talk to you. It was a very how can you put it? Not exclusive, no. A beautiful garden, but it was, no one was there. And the Lord didn't want anyone there. He wanted to talk to you. You understand that? I can't get the word. Inclusive? Intimate would be a good word. And he's going to sit you down and talk to you. And it'll be times sometimes when you're busy. And the garden, people won't know where it is again, like my brother. but it'll be a garden where of intimacy where you won't say a thing. You won't talk, but you'll listen. And that is a very powerful thing because you're a busy lady. And as you listen, you'll hear the Lord speak in an amazing way. All right, I need to... we're talking about this morning breaking cultural barriers. And I believe that God is raising a generation to do this. I just, for time's sake, I want to just maybe relate a lot of this, but you'll have the scriptures for it. In Genesis 11. Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from east and they found a plain in the land of Shinai that they dwelt there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." And they made brick for stone and they made asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build." That's a very interesting word. "Let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top may reach the heavens, and let us make us a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing will nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language." Babylon is confusion. "That they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad and from over the whole face of the earth, and they ceased from building the city. Very interesting. Very interesting. If you look at Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 went into genealogy, but it's a whole process of the flood. The flood came, the earth was covered, there was only 8 saved, and God started a new generation, and a new life came out of the flood. And he said, "I'll never flood the earth again. I'll put the rainbow in the sky, but there'll always be summer and winter, autumn and spring. I'll always have seed time and harvest." And God blessed the earth. Now, very interesting. Mankind thinks he can know better than God. So they get their heads together and there's one language there and they say, "Oh, let us build us a city." So they build a city, they build a tower, and they build a name. Very interesting, because these three, when they start in Genesis, go right throughout Scripture. I haven't got time to go into all, but I want to lay one or two seed thoughts. So here becomes a city and a tower and a name that is confusion. Babylon. Interesting. And that's the start of it. It wasn't like in Revelation. It just starts with three things. Very interesting. So what happens today as we look at this generation? Before I go on, the Babylonian culture was a man-made approach to God. It had all these things going. It was given over to a man worship and everything else. The Babylonian culture, it begins to affect the earth. And I think we're in a shifting culture at the moment. It's not a stable culture. You think of our political scene, it's unstable. You think of our agenda, it's unstable. You think of our schools, they're unstable in what they're teaching. You think of everything, in this life. We haven't asked for it to move. It's just starting to move in a time of great confusion. Ever think of it? You think of anything you can think of. I wrote down a whole lot yesterday. It's appearance rights, gender identification, moral decline of values, religious freedom. Oh, hello. Gendering to bondage, political correctness, tolerance. Here's an interesting one. When I went overseas to Malaysia, they said, we have to be tolerant. Well, they say, we've got to be tolerant. You be tolerant to us and we'll kill you. Tolerance. So our what we're living in now is a culture of change. It's a culture of transition, and Babylon has always been the same. So when we look at it, we think, wow, what's happening? You know, a man spoke yesterday, the day before I saw it, and his name was Lester Holt. He got a video on it. And he was responding to the gun law in America. He says, guns didn't change. We did. The culture of violence, the gains of the internet glorify rape and killing. It's a gang culture. And as you kill people on the internet, so you get points. They tell me that the cheap, rubbishy videos and TV, where Australia, it takes a lot to produce for entertainment, they can bring them overseas and bring them into our country. A lot of them are junk, and they're teaching kids, young kids, to pick up a gun and shoot someone. You know, our culture is changing. Now, that's a very important fact to understand, because Babylon hasn't changed. It wants to do something apart from God. Our music has changed. Our music has gone into rape and killing and destroying and sex and every other thing you could think of. That's our music. The lyrics and everything else. And so we're living in a generation of great change and a great culture of change. But you know, I love it when a great culture of change comes, then rises great warriors, great people for God. Here, the next chapter, I haven't got time to go into all this, but I will speak it. The next chapter, we see God calling Abraham, come out, come into, and I'm going to make you a great nation. And I will bless all the families of the earth. Now, where was Abraham? He was right down at the bottom of Mesopotamia in a place called Ur. And it's time to get out of Ur. You know what Ur is? Shall I do this or shall I do this? I don't know what to do. You know, Babylon's full of confusion. God is wanting to come out of Ur and make a conscious decision to serve him. Amen. Get out of Ur. So here he comes. He brings his family out of Ur. God's given him a word. He's coming, but he's got to march through Babylon. So he comes from the bottom of Mesopotamia. He goes through where they created Babylon and up to Haran. Now it's all right. Haran is a place of prosperity. You know, here, mum and dad and everybody else is getting cattle and everything else, and things are going so well. But God didn't tell him to go to Haran. He told him to go into the land of promise, and there I will make a great... He told him to move. And so the father dies like in the halfway house. If you look at it on the map, Ur is way down the bottom here, and then you go right up the Euphrates to Haran, and then they had to come down into the land of Canaan. They shouldn't stop. And God said, I want you, in Genesis 11, he says, to go into the land of Canaan. But they stopped in Haran, and the father died. I tell you, many people are called, but they stop halfway and not enter into what God has for them. You know, it's quite sad when I see people sold out for Jesus in a few years' time. When I come back and I see them on fire for God, doesn't your heart do good. But when I see them settle down in harem with all the things, and you know the Bible warns of that, that the, he said, when you have the word of God and just before the fruit's gonna be ripening on the tree and you're gonna pick it, and it falls off and goes rotten. He says, in the unfruitful stage of the word of God that choked by the cares of the world, by the things of this life, and it chokes the word of God. You know, we need to keep our heart clean and clear for the word to come in. That's what Bill soldiers. He said, young men, you are strong because the word of God abides in you. No use saying, I believe in the Bible and leaving it on the shelf for a year or bringing it to church Sunday. The word has to be in you. And it has to be, it says, young man, you are clean through the word. And I believe that it's time that the Bible is coming back to be number one on our bookshelf. Number one in our heart. Number one where we talk and meditate on day and night. Because God is about to anoint this whole generation with a new wave. And I believe it's going to be those that have the word of God that's going to go forward in a mighty way. And so here we have this situation of Abraham. And he says, all right, Lord, I'll come out. I've got the promise of the word of God. And you know what? He changed the area when he came out of Ur. He came into Haran. Then he went into it. And he became a man of the promises of the word of God. He became more than that. The Bible said he was known as a father to all the nations. And the Bible also says that he was our father. Have a look at Romans and notice the wording in there. You know, how many fathers are needed today in this generation? How many mothers are needed? I find young people everywhere want somebody to talk to that knows the plan and the purpose of God for their life. And I believe we're here today to inspire, to hand over, to bless people in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Because God's making warriors. He's making... All right, let's for time's sake, I'm just going to... where are we? Let's just get a little bit off our notes. Remember Abraham went up and he possessed... You know, what did he look for? He looked for a city. Babylon wanted to build a city. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He dwelt in... They were building a tower and he dwelt in tents. Very interesting. After he came out of Haran, he dwelt in tents. And he was the richest man in the east, dwelling in tents. Must have been an amazing life. I've always wondered how they have a shower. Dwelling in tents in the wilderness. Anyway, let's get off that. He called on the name of the Lord. He was out there in the plains. The Bible says that. And here he was. God had so blessed him that as he walked round, he said, Lord, you've shown me a city whose builder and maker is God. And he was looking for it. And he looked over here and he looked over there and he looked over everywhere because he was looking for this city. And you know, he never found the city. You know why? It's in the book of Revelation that's coming down. The city made in heavenly places. The new Jerusalem coming down from this. Amazing. This man, a man of faith, a man that possessed all the promises, a man that possessed the land, a man that went into Canaan, and he possessed, but he was looking for the city. Do you know, I wonder what God has given you to look for. Here, he looked for the city, he dwelt in tents, and he called on the name of the Lord. He had what Babylon had and far more, because Babylon left God out of it. Abraham put God into the equation. Look, let me just say how, for time, Joseph had a dream. 17-year-old boy had a dream. God's going to make him a leader. God's going to equip him. And who would have thought a 17-year-old boy would go through what the storms and the trials he went through? First thing he was, his brothers hated him for his dreams because he said he's going to be a leader over them. So his brothers got him, and you know what they did to him? They took away everything. They put him in a pit. They stripped him. They said to the father, he must have died. And he went down into the prison. The people brought him. He was sold as a slave. Here's this man that's got this great vision in God. You know, it pays you to hang on to your dreams and vision. People say to me, I got a prophecy 2 years ago and it hasn't been fulfilled. That's wonderful. God sometimes takes you through the process. Sue and I realized that it was a hard year last year, but we realized it was a process that's making us stronger in God than ever. And, you know, this guy, he just went through, and the Bible says where he went to, even in the prisons, he prospered. One day he was down in the dungeon and he'd had a dream and had forgotten him. 2 years later, the butler and the baker, and the king had a dream, and I says, who could tell me the dream? And he says, oh, there's a man down in the prison. He might be able to do it. Name is Joseph. Well, the king said, Pharaoh said, can we find a man like that that can tell me? No one can tell me. He brought him up. They shaved him. They put a nice gown on him. Might have been a blue coat. Wouldn't have been black, no. And they put a gown on him and they brought him up. And he is young. He's not too young now. He's about 37. But that's young, isn't it? Oh, dear. 37, stands there. And Pharaoh said, can we find a man? Do you know that man kept his integrity in the hardest trials that he had? He kept the character of God in his life. He kept the word of God. And now he was ready for leadership. No one ever saw him being trained. Hello? You know, here he comes. A man of God in an Egyptian place that how they needed him. They were going through a time of famine, 7 years of famine. He comes before them. Do you know that young man, even at 37, the Bible said he became a father to Pharaoh. And he was Lord over all Egypt. Two scriptures there. You'll find them in Genesis 45. He became a father to Pharaoh. Here is a man that does not recognize God or anything. He's got this young man in prison, brought him up, and now he rules. And he's second in charge. I tell you, what's God going to do with your life? Let me just go quickly through another one. What's the time? I've got 2 minutes. Right, let's go for another one. Ruth, a Moabitess. Naomi and her family have come down in a time of famine, and it's been very difficult. So they moved into this place, and this young girl sees Naomi, a godly woman, a beautiful woman serving God, but bitter now because her husband, the two son-in-laws, died. Here she says, I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judah. God is visiting the place and I shouldn't have left it, but I'm going back. You know, when we do wrong, it's one thing to recognize it, but it's another thing to say, right, I'm going to put it right. I'm not going to let this failure, I'm not going to let this thing hurt me. I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to go to where I find the Lord reigning. So come here. So here we come. Here we come. Only one or two said come, right? She comes back and she notices a shadow behind him. So she stops the two girls and she said, look, go back. I'm older. I've got no more sons for you. You go back. Okay. Orpah said, okay. And you never read any more of Orpah. But Ruth is still following. What are you doing? Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God, and entreat me not to leave you. In other words, don't tell me off for following you. I want to follow him. I made it up. I've seen something in you, Naomi, that is beautiful. I want to serve your God and your people. I don't care. Well, you're a Moabite. I don't care what I am. I'm leaving that behind. I've stepped over the line this morning. I want to follow you. But you got no money. But you've never been there before. I've made up my mind where I'm going. You know, when I see people determined for the will of God, it's so thrilling. They've made up their mind. This young girl had nothing. She went and served as a servant in the fields of Boaz. There's a lot more to it. I'm leaving a lot out. But she became in the royal line. This lady that had nothing, nothing. You know, your choice in God and your steps in God determines your future. God will do everything. He's a loving Father. He'll do everything to encourage you. But you make the choice of what you're going to do. Ah, don't let me leave you. Where are you going, Ruth? I don't know. I'm just following Naomi. She's got God in her. Ruth was going to have God in her. More than that, she was going to fulfill a dynamic plan. Daniel in Babylon. Daniel, 16-year-old boy, taken out of Jerusalem in the time of besiege and stuck in Babylon. The king saw these four men. They were choice men. They were favorable men. And he says, well, I want you to serve me, but you're going to go through training. No matter how much training in Babylon, it never changed the heart of these four people. They love God. They wanted to serve God, and they didn't care where they were. Babylon wasn't going to change them. They were going to change Babylon. Oh, God is doing an awesome thing today with people when they make a good choice. They don't have to know everything. They don't have to be skillful in everything. God added to them skills. The Bible says that. It says Daniel purposed in his heart to not be defiled with the king's meat. He had purpose in his heart to keep himself for God. And these other young men had done the same thing. And they came into the kingdom and they proved God in the kingdom. And Babylon needs people like that to change Babylon, not for Babylon to change them. You know, when I am sad sometimes when people leave home and they go somewhere and that culture will change them, particularly the universities. I see some young people going to university, they come back with a head full of knowledge, but their heart has drifted off God. And to me, that's the saddest thing. It's sometimes taken years for those people to come back to God and to recognize He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And where are those years gone? Wasted years. Here Daniel says, if you want to prove me, if you want to burn me, if you want to do anything with me, go ahead. I'm serving God. That's true. Three young men got in the fiery furnace. Says, we're going to serve our God. You know, I love the fiery furnace because as they dedicated and the king was furious, he heated up seven times hotter, and they march in with their turban on, their clothes on, and they march in. Who's marching with them? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, you make an honorable decision and honor the King of Kings in your life. Somebody is walking with you that is so more powerful than you. They said that nothing burnt on them, no hair singed. You know, and here's a furnace that's heated, but they saw the fourth like the Son of God. Daniel, he he had in the 12 books, 8 or 9 of the books were given to dreams and visions of what God was giving or he had to interpret. He saw the end of the Gentiles. He taught us about the great image. He taught us about a lot in history. I'm not going to go into it, but there it is, of a young man. And God added skills. Hallelujah. The last minute I've got, I want to tell you about Jesus. Jesus goes out, he's tired. He sits down on a seat, and there's a lady come out. And he just said a simple word to her. Talk about unreligious. He broke all the barriers. He broke everything to get to the heart. Give me a drink. Simple, wasn't it? And you know, the will of God is often done very simple in our life to breaking the cultural and religious barriers we live in. Give me a drink. She said, how is it that you, being a Jew, would even talk to a woman of Samaria? And the disciples had gone off to the city. He's broken so many barriers already. I'm not going to go into them this morning. You can look into them. And they think, what are you doing talking to a woman? That's how much culture had affected even the disciples. Jesus wants to break the barrier to bring the kingdom of God into our generation. He wants us to be the people that will be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Word of God, filled with the character of the kingdom where Christ is formed in us, that we may display love, peace, and joy, that we may display the kingdom of God in a remarkable way. And so God has chosen you. God has blessed you. God has called you here today. And I believe that God is going to use you in a mighty way to bring down the barriers that are being put up. Don't so much get involved with all the barriers. Get involved with the kingdom of God to bring the barriers down. This lady said, I can't understand it. You being a Jew, the Samaritans were a bit of an outcast city. They'd built a... Where Jerusalem had the temple, they built another temple on another side, and they would, in antagonism, they would go and worship there while the Jews were worshiping in this temple. That's why they said, which temple shall we go to worship in? He said, you'll neither worship in this mountain or that, but you'll worship in spirit and in truth. And so God was breaking every barrier. She got so excited, she came out with a little water pot. Yeah. And she left it behind. She said, I'm going back to Samaria. And she became, an outcast, a lady that had 5 husbands, didn't have a good reputation. She's an evangelist now. I'm going back to tell them about this. You must be the prophet, the Messiah. He was. But how simple was Jesus? Give me a drink of water. When I walked into this building today, somebody gave me a cup of coffee. How simple was that? We became friends. What can God do through you today? I don't want limitations. I've heard young people say, I'm too young to do anything for God. I've heard the middle-aged say, well, I've got a family, and I've got a lot of children I've got to look after. Yeah, you do. You've got to look after them. But you're there to serve God, and each one of those are there to serve God. Well, I've heard the older people say, look, I'm retired now. I don't find that in the Bible. did you like that one? You might have put your work aside, but you're revitalized to do the will of God. I want to say this, that I want to go out with a shout for the kingdom of God. I went to a group of 40-year-olds one day, 40-year-olds, and they said, I can't wait to retire at 50. Then I'm going to get a caravan, I'm going to get a boat, and I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get that. And I thought, what a boring life. I'm going to go to the 20-year-olds and say, what can we do for God? What's on the plan? Is there a mission field we can go into? Is there something we can pour our life into? Well, and what the girl is doing, I don't know your name, but going out to the brokenhearted. You know, if you have a vision for something, you're going to end up doing something. There was four men get together in Wellington of New Zealand. And every week they got together to pray for the missions. Guess what? You've guessed it. About after a year and a half, they all were on the mission field. They weren't in the mission field. They were all in business. They prayed for missions, four of them. And that was the start of the Evidence magazine in New Zealand. Isn't that amazing? What is God going to do through you? Whew. He renews your youth like an eagle. When I was young, I did make excuses. I said, I can't speak. And the Lord turned me to Moses. And Moses made the same excuse. And he said, give me Aaron. And the Lord and Moses set up an argument. And whatever you can't do, he can do for you. I didn't like public speaking. I used to run away from public speaking. I had a struggle with English, another language of better. And the Lord said, I want you to do this, and I want you to do it for me. What is God going to do through you today? I just feel that God has got, he's just laying plans on you. He's laying a purpose. If you said, right, I've got 5 years to live, what would you do for those 5 years? I'm excited. I feel the power of God here. I feel the presence of God here. What is God going to do through you? Thanks.